I said something about, well, you know, a year from now, ask me a question. Remember to ask me a question a year from now. Do you remember my saying that? Well, as it turns out, you're not going to have to wait. Tonight, I'm going to tell you what it was that I was planning to wait a year to tell you. And I think you'll understand why, perhaps, in a moment. Well, I have always told you folks the truth. Tonight will be no exception. This is going to be a pretty wild story. So buckle in, and we're going on a ride here. You may recall that before I left on my change of scenery venue, I mentioned to you that I was going east. I think that was the only hint I gave. I said I was going east. What I didn't say was how far east I was going. I went to the Far East, as in the Philippines. That's where I've been, ladies and gentlemen, for the last 3 weeks. I've been in the Philippines. Now, let's go back a little bit, all right? Back to the beginning of January, January 5th, when my dear wife Ramona passed away. I got, I think, thanks to all of you so much, I believe I got in the order of, almost 20,000 condolence messages. I'd say about 20,000 by the time it was over, and it's really still not over. About 20,000. However, I began within a few days, I began to get a condolence message from a young Filipino gal at my private email address, not either one of my public ones, and I won't give you the address, but a private email address. And to tell you the truth, I was in such shock. You know, I really was in a state of nothing short of shock that I responded to it, as I did many others, but I didn't give it any consideration beyond that at first. God, this is such a wild story. A few more messages went back and forth. She seemed like a very nice young lady, and again, in the first, 6 or 8 messages that went back and forth in email between us, I was in such shock that I didn't think to ask, a couple of rather what should have been very obvious questions. Why is a young Filipino lady writing to me? How would she know that my wife had passed away? Moreover, how would she know my private email address? So I was in pretty bad shape, and the first thing I thought, honest to God, folks, I thought Ramona was acting from above, and that she was sending me a young 20-something to kill me. You know, Ramona was half Filipino. You know that, right? Anyway, I really did think that for a little while, because it was so impossible. Then I thought, no, you know, Julie, Ramona's mom, knew how bad my shape was at that time. And of course, you know, Filipinos know each other. Oh, believe me, they all sort of know each other. They're very close families, but that's another whole story. And so I thought, well, sure, it's coming somehow from somebody that Julie knows. Ramona's mom in the Philippines would make sense. And then I finally threw up my hands, and I guess I gathered enough of my senses to write back to this young lady, whose name, by the way, is, in my way of thinking, Aaron. It's A-I-R-Y-N, Aaron. But actually, correctly pronounced, as it would be read by a Filipino, would be Irene. But A-I-R-Y-N to me sounds like Aaron, so I call her Aaron. But really, her name's Irene. Now, the the emails got a little more personal and a little more interesting and fun, and the emails then turned into video conferences. Aaron and I began having 2 or 3 hour video conferences virtually every day. And this is pretty personal stuff. In fact, I'll tell you, after you have talked to somebody for 2 or 3 hours, and seen their picture in a video conference, which can be done across the world for 2 or 3 hours every day, you get to know more about them than I think the average couple, which usually jumps in bed with each other and then tries to find out about the other person afterwards, will ever know. Still, you know, I still had not physically met Aaron, but I was quickly falling in love. There's simply no question about it. Now, who's Aaron? Well, Aaron is a 20-something, beautiful, wonderful, light of my life. But what I really want to tell you is she's a teacher. She just graduated from college. In fact, while I was in the Philippines, I attended her graduation. One of the photographs you'll see there is of her graduation. In fact, you'll see her mom and her dad. And her dad is a very stern guy. He's a farmer. She is from the provinces. I'm trying to get this all together. There's so much to tell you about. When I say the provinces, I mean not Manila. She's from... actually, I spent most of my time in Mindanao, in Cagayan, a city called Cagayan. And I'm sure I'm slaughtering the pronunciation of Cagayan, but, I'm doing my best. Some time on Luzon in Manila, but most of it on Mindanao, the northern part of Mindanao. Cagayan is the city, if you want to look it up on a map. And she's actually from a little town called Bukidnon. It's called Bukidnon. And that's where she's from. And to get to Bukidnon, you have to first fly to Mindanao, go to Cagayan, and then take a vehicle on about a 3 to 4 hour drive. And then the last, 30 minutes is a very kind of serious dirt road. So I made that trek. Anyway, back to the story of how we met. I wrote to her and I said, listen, how did you know my wife passed away, and how did you know to write me at this address? And the answer came quickly. It was an amateur radio friend of mine, a ham radio friend of mine, somebody I've known now for years, and I am going to not mention his name because here's what happened. You see, he had been engaged to Aaron's sister, Sharon, for quite some time. And when he heard that my wife passed, he kind of knew the bad shape I was in. He apparently asked Sharon to ask her sister Erin to just write to me, because, well, keep me company, whatever. And so that's how it began, of all things. So the moment I found out, I picked up the phone and I called this friend of mine in the middle part of the country, and I said, what the heck, or some variation thereof. And so that's how it happened. Now, after hundreds and hundreds of hours in video conferences, I was pretty well convinced that I had just become the luckiest man in the world. And nevertheless, there's the last sort of I've got to go meet her in person kind of deal. And so that's where the trip to the Philippines came in. As a matter of fact, I paid my friend's way over to the Philippines, and there was a double wedding. Now, I couldn't be happier. I love her very much. Oh, by the way, if you would like to go to coasttocoastam.com and look very carefully, you'll see, I think I put up 6 or 8 pictures, mostly of Aaron, some of the both of us, and all of these pictures came from the recent trip. In fact, you will see a picture of her as I mentioned, at graduation with her mom and her dad there, and then you'll see some of the wedding, and you will see her in her wedding dress, and oh my God, is she beautiful. Most beautiful woman I've ever seen in my life. And we are so in love. So, you know, I know many people will think many things, but remember, folks, it's my life. And I told you that I was going to do something and turn my life upside down. And that's exactly what I'm going to do. Now, I'm not done. There is more to this story. I'm moving to the Philippines. I'm going to the you see, most or many Filipina girls want to come to the United States. Aaron doesn't. And luckily, I would like to live there, so I'm going to pick up sticks, folks, and for a year, and maybe forever, move to the Philippines. I know this is coming as a big shock to you, but that's what's happening. This guy is taking off to the Philippines, and I'll give you some of my private thoughts about this in a moment yet, but I would like you to know that I've got a really good company. You know, this company, Clear Channel, that I work for, Craig Kitchen is the president of it. Now, he's known about this for some time. Otherwise, it's been a deep, dark secret because until it really happened, I didn't want to tell anybody. So, Craig Kitchen has been incredible and just wonderful throughout this. And all I will tell you on this score is I have begun to acquire a residence for Aaron and myself in an area that should allow, I'm convinced it will allow, an ISDN connection. And so my company, Clear Channel, I mean, this really is cool stuff, folks. They're going to attempt to put together what's called an ISDN connection between Manila, which is where I'll be, somewhere in Manila. That's a city of about 20 million or so. Between Manila and the United States, and so I will continue to do my program. There may be a week or two lag in getting in the ISDN line, but I'm leaving here on going back to the Philippines, back to my love, on April 29th. So there could be, you know, getting the residents prepared. So there could be a week or two gap. I'm not exactly sure yet. It won't be very long. They have to get some equipment over there. And I will do the show from Manila. Now, my webcam photos are going to be pretty interesting. Because I'll tell you this much. Aaron and I are on the 19th floor of a building in Manila. Now, from the 19th floor, my goodness, you can mount a webcam and pretty much see the skyline of Makati and Metro Manila. So I should have some pretty interesting photographs for you. There's a whole lot going on in my life right now, as you can imagine. Again, if you want to see pictures of Aaron and myself and what, you know, was going on, www.coasttocoastam.com. Now, let me see. There are so many things that I have to talk about. Through this all, I guess I ought to add, of course, was Ramona. And I talked to her all the time, and I kept telling her, Ramona, if there's anything, if this is wrong for me, if you wouldn't want me to do this, if I'm making a mistake, kick me in the ass. Well, she never did. And she would have. Anyway, she would have loved Aaron. She certainly would have loved Aaron. And instead of things going wrong, things went boom, 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 just right. Never anything going wrong. It could not have been better. Both in the magical way that we met, and then as we got to the Philippines, it was everything I dreamed it could be and more. And then, of course, the final decision, and I could spend a half hour talking to you about marrying a Filipina, believe me, what a wedding is like there. They take about 3 hours. I would say 3 hours. And there were probably about 100 people there. And it was probably about 100 degrees. And you get under a veil, and there's a cord put around you. And the ceremony just goes on and on and on and on. There's no divorce in the Philippines. They don't have it. It's a predominantly Catholic country with a very small percentage of Muslims, and mostly Catholic. And so their government, unlike ours, where we have sort of a separation between church and state, their government is run by Catholics. I mean, there's simply no question about it. And so there is no divorce there, which is fine by me. So I'm very happy. I think the photographs will tell the story. You can see, obviously, Aaron is really happy. I'm really happy. And I've never been the kind of person to, I don't know, be afraid of any damn thing in the world. So I'm not. So I hope while I'm speaking you have a chance, an opportunity to go up and take a look at the photographs. I know this is quite shocking to many of you because for me this has been ongoing for months now. For all of you, you're just hearing about it, seeing it for the first time right now. But I guess what you ought to know, and what is most important, is I am so very much in love, so very happy. And when was the last time anybody did a talk show from the Philippines anyway? So my company is so cool. I mean, they are way cool to get behind me and the whole concept, the whole idea of doing a show from the Philippines. By the way, doing it there will mean, with the hour change, let's see, I'd be doing it at about 1 o'clock in the afternoon. So what we're going to have to do is darken down the residence we have and make it look just like night, so I can be in the mood, you know, so it's just like nighttime. It's going to be fun. It's really good. As a matter of fact, the whole thing is going to be fun. And I'm going to be back there very quickly. I told her I wouldn't leave her alone for a moment, and I will not. Now listen, I've got a whole, you know, I'm not sure what I'm going to do yet, in terms of what I'm going to do with everything. For example, I've got 5 acres and 2 homes here of about equal size. I mean, just a luxury home that doesn't get any better than what I've got, in my opinion. 5 acres of land in a very private area with an RV and, you know, the biggest ham antenna of its kind. Now, if the right amateur radio operator came along, the right ham radio operator, and wanted all of this, I've got a, you know, a racquetball court, solar power, and there's just more things here than I could possibly ever describe. If the right amateur radio operator, ham operator came along, I might sell the whole schmear to him. I just might. Or I might keep the houses. I'm not sure yet, but one thing's for sure. I am going to have a lot of stuff for sale, and I will take the opportunity to use my own program to actually mention some of this stuff, and if anybody's interested, I'll give a phone number. So get a, not a phone number, but a actually a fax number. Hell, I think I've got it. Yes, I do. Thank goodness. And I'll provide a fax number, but I'll just mention some of these things. And so if anybody out there is particularly interested, you can fax a number I'm going to give. But anyway, the bottom line to this first half hour is I have met, in the most unusual, magical way you can imagine, the most beautiful girl in the world, who, yes, is 20-something. And we fell very much in love, and we got married. So there's a big shocker for you, and then to pile on top of that, I'm going to become an expat, and I'm going to do this radio program on the weekends from Manila in the Philippines, where it's a different day every day. Go to the one I love, and the one I love is Irene Ruiz Bell. If you want to see her, she's on the internet right now at coasttocoastam.com. Lots of good photographs up there, all taken on my recent journey to the Philippines. And that's where I'll be doing the program from, the Philippines, unbelievably. Now, I will take some calls this hour. I've got just one thing I want to cover with you in a moment. Then we'll take some calls, and who knows? Only the shadow knows. We'll be right back. Well, all right. So, again, here I go. I mean, April 29th, away to the Philippines and my love. Now, I'm going to sell a bunch of stuff. There's no point in keeping it. You know, it occurred to me that, you know, for example, vehicles and things like that, they're just going to devalue, sit here, which they pretty much did anyway. I mean, all my vehicles are just about new because I kept them in a garage and used a little Geo Metro. So what I've got is a 99 Camaro, perfect condition, 98 Firebird Trans Am that'll kick butt. I've got a 99 Geo Metro in perfect condition, an older Geo Metro. All those can go. You know, I've got a SX77 amp, an Alpha amp, an Alpha 99, an Alpha 87A amp. They can probably go if I find the right buyers. I've got a couple of 42-inch plasma TVs. I've got a 2000 model RV Bounder with every option known to man. Sony recorders, high-def stuff, you know, it's the house is just full of stuff. And so I've got a bunch of guns, too. Anybody wants to buy guns? Anyway, look, what I'm going to do is give out a phone number. They hate it when you take guns. You can actually take guns on an airline, but they don't like it, although it's something to think about. Anyway, anybody interested in, seriously interested in maybe buying the whole properties out here, the 5 acres and the whole schmear of the antennas, or, you know, some part thereof. Well, I'm going to give you a fax number. Now, this is not a way to contact me for anything else. Only if you're interested in some of this stuff. The fax number is area code 775-582-1310. That's area code 775-582-1310. Now, there's not really much point in just letting cars, you know, slowly devalue themselves, I suppose. Somebody should be driving them. They're awesome vehicles. So I'm going to give my friend here, Paul, power of attorney, and he'll be able to handle it for me. And this is really his fax number, so good luck, Paul. Again, if you're interested and think you might be in any of these items, it's area code 775-582-1310. That is only a fax number, and it's only for these items. Okay? Hope we're clear on that. I've got so much stuff. But if need be, I'll just leave it all and go. I actually have somebody living in my guest house and taking care of the house and the cats right now. Oh, that's another thing. The ham radio operator, who I paid to, you know, I wanted to help him out, so I paid his way to the Philippines and back. And, he married Aaron's sister, Sharon. He took, Shadow. He wanted Shadow, so Shadow is now on her way to the middle part of the country in a large, vehicle, probably having a blast, probably meowing like crazy. So I now have 4 cats, and I'm looking for good homes for them. I may try and take one or even two, maybe, to the Philippines, but I don't really know exactly what the situation is with respect to how long they'd have to be in quarantine, whether I want to put them through that. So that's the situation. Bottom line, in love, married, moving to the other side of the world, and that is where I will do the program. Now, look, folks. I'm 60 years old. I lost my wife. I would say try and put yourself in my shoes, when you consider whether you think I made the right decision or not. Not that it really matters, but I'd like you to understand at this age. I have met and fallen in love with a beautiful young lady who's very much in love with me. We're married. And I guess I would have had two paths that I could have taken. I could have stayed here, of course, with my five kitty cats, and I love them to death, you know that, and lived out my life that way. Or I could choose to flip my life upside down. I'm famous for it. I've done it lots of times before, and just change everything, and that's exactly what I have done. Let's go to the lines. Wildcard line, good morning. You are on the air.
All right, this is Steven, your fireworks buddy in Columbus, Georgia, buddy. You have done it again, haven't you?
Columbus, Georgia, huh? Yeah, I guess I've done it again. This is pretty
Congratulations,
wild.
Art.
Oh, thank you. Thank you very much.
I'm telling you just like it is, son. Whatever makes you happy makes me happy.
Have you had an opportunity to go up and look at the photographs?
You know, Art, I got divorced about 3 months ago, and my computer went with her. I've been the happiest man ever since.
There's no such thing as divorce in the Philippines, sir. It's illegal.
Well, I tell you what. I just hope this young gal don't kill you. Okay?
Well, listen. There's worse ways to go.
Well, I know what to send you for your birthday. All right? I know exactly what to send you, sir.
All right. Well, we'll fix it up so that you can send things
I'll
to the...
I'll send you a year's supply of those little blue pills, okay?
Go away, sir.
All right, Art.
Thanks,
look
buddy.
Here, buddy.
See you later.
I congratulate you very much.
Thank you. Take care.
All right. Buddy.
East of the Rockies, you're on the air. Good morning.
Hey, Art. How you doing?
I'm well. I've just sort of explained that, I think.
Oh, man. Congratulations to you.
Thank you.
Unbelievable shock.
I know.
Just wanted to say that. And real quick, I'll take this off the air. I'm working kind of busy. Just wanted to say, what it will be your new opening? Have you decided that?
You know, I thought a little bit about that. And I thought something cutesy like from the rainforest south on the other side of the... I don't know. I'll come up with something. Maybe some people out there will have some ideas, but from, you know, it's been from the high desert, and how about from the rainforest? Which technically won't be true, but it is close by. So I don't know, that could be the new opening. I don't know. West of the Rockies, you're on the air. Hello.
Hi, Art. This is Mark from San Diego.
Hey, buddy.
Well, you answered my questions about the cats, because that was my concern. But I just want to say you've been in such an emotional grave of your own for the last 4 months. I think on the eve of Easter, this is your own resurrection. So I'm real happy for you. You can hear it in your voice.
Sir, you have no idea how happy I am.
Well, it comes across.
Have you seen the photographs yet?
Well, I lost sight several years ago, and so I don't have that ability. But which is why your program is, I listen to it now, because everything's radio for me now.
Well, it's always been radio for me. The internet, though, is a pretty good adjunct to radio, and so if you get a chance, she's a really beautiful woman. So if you get a chance to get to coasttocoastam.com, go take a look.
Well, sir, and congratulations, and many happy.
Thank you, thank you very much, and take care. East of the Rockies, you're on the air. Good morning.
Hello.
Turn your radio off, please.
All righty.
Yeah, have to turn it off. We have a delay. It'll confuse you more than me, actually.
Okay.
All right. Where are you?
I am in Iowa.
Iowa?
Yep.
Okay. Welcome.
Thank you. Just wanted to say congratulations.
Thank you. Have you yet seen the photographs?
No, I'm at work right now. I'm doing a naughty thing calling in, but I hear how happy you are, and I'm just really happy for you, Art.
Oh, thank you. So you're using the boss's phone to call in?
Yeah. Well, I work overnight security, so no one's really out here, but... Yeah, if anyone would catch me, I'd be in a little bit of trouble. But
well, I don't want you in trouble.
That's all right. I'm used to being in trouble, Art.
Yeah, you know me too. I mean, I've always... This is fairly typical of me. I'm sort of not afraid of doing very radical things.
I know what you mean, my man.
You only live once, bud.
Exactly.
Life is short. That's a real phrase to remember. Thank you very much. Wildcard line, you're on the air. Hello.
Yeah, Art.
Hi.
I've seen the pictures on the internet.
Oh, well, first one to come along who's seen the pictures.
Well, I think you're a little understated.
Well, I'll just go right ahead, sir. What do you think?
I think she's absolutely gorgeous. I think you've made a very good thing.
There's worse ways to go.
Oh, it's a very short list.
Yeah, yeah. No, she really is pretty incredible.
Yeah. It'll put a nice spring in your step.
My my step springeth already, sir.
Oh, my grandfather was a ham pioneer. I just want to, you know, pass that on to you that, you know, ham and everything you're doing very well.
Well, let me tell you, I will take my radio equipment as much as I'm able with me. And, you know, I'm going to be up on the 19th floor of a large building. And if I can figure a way to get some coax up on the roof, I'm going to be rocking and rolling, believe me.
Well, you'll have some less restrictions with the FCC over there.
Oh, I don't know. They've got their own agency. It's very much the same. There is, fortunately, a sort of a reciprocal agreement. If you have a license here, you can obtain one there to operate. So I'm looking forward to that. Well, listen, thank you very much, and I appreciate your comments on the photographs.
Okay, thank you.
Take care. East of the Rockies, you're on the air. Hello.
Hey.
Hey.
Can I read the mama cat for the kitties until he decides to come back to America? I'll kidnap him and keep him.
You'll keep him, huh? Hey, where are you calling from with an accent like that?
Arkansas.
Arkansas. Well, Arkansas might be a little difficult in terms of trying to care for the kitties. I certainly appreciate the offer, and I like your accent.
I've been to the Philippines. I know where you are, and I know what you're going through. And the southern part is it's a difficult area for Americans.
Yeah, southern Mindanao.
Don't do it, buddy. I'll keep you kitties.
All right. Well, thank you very much. The southern part does have, of course, Abu Sayyaf, whatever his name is, and some trouble, but the rest of the Philippines, let me tell you something. This is really important for you to know. The Philippines is probably one of the most friendly countries. It's got the best people you'll ever meet in your whole life. They're all friendly. They smile. They're beautiful people. In fact, there's got to be a beautiful girl factory over there somewhere, just stamping them out. I told Aaron that, and it's unbelievable the number of beautiful people over there, and they're friendly. Everybody smiles, everybody's nice, and by the way, others you'll see in the photograph are bridesmaids and, you know, flower girls, and there was probably about 100 people there, I'd say, in total. West of the Rockies, you're on the air. Hi.
Hi, Art. This is Maureen from San Diego.
Howdy.
Hi, I just want to wish you congratulations.
Thank you.
You're welcome, because I'm Filipino, too, so I know I talked to you before.
Have you seen the photographs yet?
Oh, not yet.
Okay.
I don't have a computer.
All these people without a computer.
Well, I have a library across the street from me. But will it be up tomorrow?
Yes, it'll be up through the weekend.
Okay, great. Thank you so much, Art. Congratulations.
Thank you very much. East of the Rockies, you're on the air. Good morning.
Yes, Art. Hi. Congratulations.
Thank you.
At first I had mixed feelings, but after hearing you, I can tell that you're sincere.
Oh, yes.
And that you are happy.
Oh, yes.
And I feel so much better. And I was just worried about your cats, but I know that that's going to be taken care of because I have a feeling that Ramona's pulling for them, too, as
yeah,
well as
I
you.
Believe that's right.
Congratulations, sweetheart.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Take care. Wildcard Line, you're on the air. Good morning.
Hi, Art.
Hi.
I have to tell you, I was touched by what happened to you. Condolences for your wife, but I myself was married in Davao City, Mindanao.
Davao, really?
Yes, in the Appleview Hotel. I'm sure you saw it if you landed.
I didn't get to Davao. I almost got to Davao, but and I was also going to go to Cebu, but, well, I got distracted.
I lived in Cebu for 6 months.
In Cebu?
Yes.
No kidding.
Yes. I the Philippines stole my heart.
God, it's a beautiful country. It's such a beautiful country.
People are poor, but they're so happy and they're gentle.
Well, you know, the majority, or many, I guess I ought to say, Filipino girls want to come to the United States. Aaron, she doesn't. So this is kind of a different situation. Also, I guess I ought to add, so you know, she really didn't know who I was until about 2 weeks before I left for the Philippines. I finally told her. She had no idea who I was. I could have been poor as a church mouse. She had no idea who I was. All our correspondence and all our video and all the rest of it, you know, I really never told her. until about 2 weeks before I went. And then I did. I told her I was a radio host, and I held my books up for her and told her I'd written 4 books and all the rest of that. So she had only found out about that about 2 weeks, I guess, before I went over.
Well, my wife is similar to your wife in the way that when I met her, she didn't have any desire to come to the United States. My wife was well-educated, and she was young. And when I told her that, hey, would you be interested in marrying me, she looked at me as though I was crazy because she said, me, marry a foreigner? I mean, I'm young, I'm in school, and I had to win her over. And so a lot of the women there, I did question their motives. But my wife was, she's in the Philippines now, as a matter of fact, and we're going there. I'm going to join her on May 5th.
All right, buddy. Well, that's only a few days after I leave, so you never know. Maybe we'll connect.
Oh, by the way, I sent you an email with a picture of my wife, and I did see your pictures. She's beautiful.
Oh, isn't she something?
Yes.
Thank you, my friend.
Sure thing.
And take care. West of the Rockies, you're on the air. Good morning.
Oh, hi.
Hi, turn your radio off, please.
That's
all the way off.
One big concern, Art, what's going to happen to KNYE?
Oh, very good question. Thank you for asking. KNYE will continue. What I've done is I found a new manager, and I've got a person lined up to take care of the technical aspects of the radio station. So KNYE will continue without missing a beat.
Well, I mean, big shock here. I'm calling from Monrovia, California.
Right.
And it's really a big shock. I mean, what's Major Ed and Whitney and George and Ian, everybody's probably going to be just as shocked as I was when I heard it.
I'm sure that's true. Thank you very, very much for calling. And I understand it is a shock. And please understand that I could not really tell anybody anything until I was really sure. It would have been completely foolish to say anything until I was really certain that all this was right. And I'm really certain it is all right. And so, as is always been my custom, I'm here to lay the naked truth out for you, so to speak. Wildcard line, you're on the air. Hi.
Holy moly, that was quick. Art, I am jealous beyond jealous. I've been single for 5 years. I lost my taste for love 5 years ago, and I've always thought about foreign countries because I can't trust the women here.
Well,
it
can be done. It can be done, sir, and I'm proving it right now.
How?
It's pretty wild, but it can be done. So have you seen the photographs?
Yes, I did.
Isn't she a beauty?
What size shoe do you wear? I love you, Art. You're the best.
Very funny, sir.
Sorry.
All right. Well, by the way, where are you?
I'm in Northern California in Anderson.
Anderson, California. Okay.
I'm a truck driver. But what do I do to try to, I don't know, not fall on your footsteps, but I've been thinking about it for years.
You mean do something like I just did?
Yeah.
Go to the Internet, sir. Go to the Internet.
Oh,
that's what I would say, okay? So if I had not come along, she would have gone into the mountains. That's where it begins over there. She would have been far away in the mountains in Mindanao, and she would have been teaching there. Now I have just retired her, so to speak. All right, on to business now. Look, what you're about to hear is scary, scary stuff. Many people believe, and I'm one of them, that when people die, they don't just end. We are energy. We are electrical impulses. We have souls. We don't just die. Something else happens to us. We can debate until the cows come home what that is. But there's one really big thing. You know, pictures, I don't know, I've seen a few good ones. But this EVP, electronic voice phenomena, just totally tips me over from the work of George Meeks and those who came before him, Alexander Graham Bell, others who believed that communication with those on the other side was possible. And then, of course, the incredible Meeks work. You know, I listened to all of the Meeks work, and they were communicating with a man who was telling them how to improve communications. It was incredible. Then we've got this group that you're about to hear from, Brendan Cook and Barbara McBeth, represent the Ghost Investigators Society, GIS, they're nonprofit. They don't write books. They don't ask for money. All they do is take recorders, both analog and digital, into unusual places, and they record the voices of those who have passed. Specifically, Brendan Cook and Barbara Macbeth both are members of the Ghost Investigators Society. The Ghost Investigators Society is a nonprofit organization dedicated to the investigation of ghosts. Not only do they conduct investigations, but they also instruct, assist, and educate anyone who believes that they may be experiencing ghostly phenomena or those who are just simply curious. In an effort to educate the public about ghosts, the GIS hopes the EVPs that you're about to hear will help demonstrate that the consciousness, our consciousness, does in fact survive after the body dies, and that these voices might help to give a different perspective about life, death, and ghosts. Now, I can't stress enough that the reason I keep having them back is because, as far as I can see, they have no agenda save what I just described. And by no means are they the first ones to come along and do this. They're just very, very good at it. So here they are. Brendan Cook and Barbara Macbeth. Welcome back to the program, you two.
Thank you very much.
Thank you, Art.
You're very, very welcome.
Congratulations.
Oh, thank you. Did you have a chance to zip up to the website and see
beautiful.
Sure did.
So you have seen her?
Yes.
Barbara, actually, I got here late to Barbara's house and walked in the door, and Barbara's like, "You'll never guess what, Art got married." Are you serious? And she's like, "Here, look."
All right. Wonderful. I'm so happy.
Thank you. Yes, I am too.
I hope so. I hope it's a wonderful, wonderful life together.
All right. Now listen, Barbara, you're not as loud as Brendan is.
I'll get real close.
Okay, there you go. You've got to stay good and close to the phone for us all.
Okay.
Now, you know, the open I did here, I really mean that. I've been looking into this whole thing now for so many years, and, you know, nailing down whether or not there's life after death is... Well, you almost don't nail it down. That's all there is to it. But this comes, in my opinion, as close as you can come to nailing it down and saying, look, this is real. You know, it's not radio stations. It's not some weird something or another. These voices are coming from elsewhere. I mean, that's about all you can say for sure. It's not a hoax. It's not BS. These voices are coming from elsewhere. Is that fair to say?
Oh, yes. Definitely, without a doubt. And, you know, the only way you can do this and prove it to anybody is tell them to go out and do it themselves. I mean, you know, it's one thing for us to show you this.
Oh, I'm so glad you mentioned that. Hold on a minute. All right, look, listen to this. Art, I've also been a ham operator since 1958. Reference the show tonight. This EVP stuff really works. I contacted my brother at our family house, asked whose spirit was present in the background on the tape recorder. Slightly scratchy in the noise, but very discernible was, in quotes, your brother. He had passed away some months earlier. Have the tape if you're interested. Can't. And gives me information and a phone number. You know, that's representative of a lot of people that I've talked to.
Oh, yeah.
They think, oh, you know, this is BS, half of them. And they grab a tape recorder and they go out somewhere and they listen carefully. And I would say more than half of the people who try it themselves, well over half, get something.
That's right.
Oh, it is easily over half. I mean, the amount, I can't count the number of emails we get from people saying at first, you know, I just don't buy this.
Yeah.
You know, this is nuts.
Yeah.
And I'll email back and say, all we're saying is, if you don't believe it, go try it for yourself and see what happens.
Well said. Well, very well said. Listen, let me do my break before I forget it, which I'm famous for doing. So stay right there and we'll be right back. Well, all right. Once again, welcome back, you two.
Thank you.
Is there is there anything you want to add to the people? There will be some people, obviously, listening for the, you know, the very first time this morning. There always are. There's so many millions of people out there that there's always going to be new listeners. So I guess we ought to give them the real quick 101. In other words, how did you get what all these folks are about to hear?
Well, what we do is record using, everything from analog tapes to digital to something we'll get into in a minute that I'm sure you're going to love.
Oh?
Yeah. You'll actually notice tonight a lot of these voices were recorded with a condenser mic. We
really?
Have switched from, you know, just regular dynamic microphones all the way up to condenser and, you know, powered mixers and...
Really? What has caused you to switch?
Basically clarity.
Clarity.
We had always been suggested, or had people suggest to us, that we should use condenser mics.
Well, here's the deal. A condenser mic is famously more sensitive.
Oh, yes.
Very much more sensitive. So it would make sense, Brendan, if the what you're actually recording really is an audible sound as opposed to being impressed on some sort of electromagnetic media.
That's exactly it. And honestly, at this point, using the condenser mic as much as we have so far, I am under the impression it is some kind of audible sound.
Oh,
it
my.
Has to be.
Oh, well, okay. That's a revelation all in itself then.
Well, it is, and like I said, it comes from using the condenser mic. I think just hearing these voices and how much audio information is in these ones that we did record with the condenser mic, it's amazing.
You're going to be amazed at the clarity of these.
I mean, it sounds like nothing we've ever heard.
What finally caused you to switch over and give it a try?
It was basically just people, you know, constantly suggesting we should try this. And, you know, finally hey, let's do it.
Okay.
You know, we got nothing to lose but, you know, a couple hundred dollars. That's it.
Yeah, that's right. So a couple hundred bucks for a condenser mic and what? A mixer and all the rest of it. And what about the locations? You guys, even though you say all the time that you can get these voices virtually anywhere, you say that still, I mean, I notice you go to graveyards, prisons, old psychiatric facilities, that sort of thing.
You have to have the electrical power to be able
It's really anywhere that is connected with, you know, a lot of emotion. I think that's what we look at. And when you go to places like, obviously, cemeteries have a lot of emotion connected to them, churches, mausoleums, hospitals, you know, things like that. I think what's happening is these spirits are feeding off that emotion.
Okay, but that, you know, it takes us back to the question of whether it's a residual something. Yes, strong emotions, but is it a residual something that's left, or have you had enough contemporary communication to be absolutely convinced now that these are actual spirits, in real time saying things to you?
We get both. I would say easily right now, 70%, over 70% of what we deal with is an intelligent, haunting is what we'd call it. It is aware of us. It seems to be aware somewhat of its surroundings. And then there's another just under 30% that seems to be like it's residual.
Huh. Isn't that fascinating? So some real-time stuff and some apparent residual from the life that was being lived at that particular location.
And the thing is, I mean, the residual thing is easy to rationalize. I mean, you could, you know, chalk that up to, as you mentioned before, radio transmissions, baby monitors, things like that. I mean, you can rationalize that. It's these intelligent contemporary things that make you go, God, it's aware of us.
Yeah.
You know, it's telling me something I had no idea about before.
All right. Also, we've dealt with this now in the years that we've been doing this program with you, and that is the disproportionately large number of children's voices that we hear.
Yes.
There are going to be a lot of children in these tonight.
Yeah, you're not going to like this tonight.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah, very concerning. It really is very concerning. Do you have any further thoughts on why we hear so many children?
I've got theories. There's, and I'll point it out when we get to the voice, but I almost wonder if it's, if they are able to go back in memory, almost like...
You mean adult spirits going back
in memory
into their own childhood,
reliving something bad that took place at that time. I'm hoping.
I wonder.
That's what I'm hoping.
That's what you're hoping.
Yes.
Because, I mean, let's face it, your theory has merit because of those people in this world who die every day, and there are many, 40,000, 50, 60, whatever, who die every day, most of them, the great majority of them, are not children. I mean, obviously some children die, but more than not, people get to live out a fairly reasonably full life, right? So you just wouldn't expect the percentage of children that you get otherwise.
Well, and to back up Barbara's theory, there have been numerous documented reports of, you know, Grandpa Joe passing away. And then a few weeks later, you know, his grandson sees him as, you know, when he was 15 or 20. So,
yeah.
I mean, that happens all the time. People report that all the time.
All right. You do work mainly with audio, but you also do some video, and I know on your website you've got some video shots. How frequently do these voices that we hear get accompanied by something that you pick up on video?
Not very. There doesn't seem to be a lot of correlation between video and the audio. There's definitely a correlation with the location that we're investigating. But most of the time, we really don't have our video cameras in the same area that we're recording. We kind of leave them separate and go off recording and come back and check the camera.
Okay.
Although we have recorded EVP on the video camera.
Oh, really?
Yes.
How frequently is the EVP that's recorded on the video camera similar or exactly the same as that which you record with a recorder?
Well, there was an instance where I was standing next to the camera when I had my tape recorder, and the EVP that I recorded on the camera was better and clearer than the one on my audio recorder.
That would indicate a proximity effect.
Yes.
Which again leads us to it's really audio.
Oh, yes.
How many times, then, have either one of you heard what later you hear on the recorder with your own ears?
Rarely.
But it's happened.
It has happened, but very rarely. There was actually a voice we were going to use tonight, and we just decided, you know, this is too low. People aren't going to hear it on the radio. But what happened was Barbara and I were in the basement of a building, and all of a sudden we just heard this. It sounded like a moaning. I turned to Barbara. I'm like, "What is that?"
Yeah.
Barbara's like, "Could be a cow." And I'm like, "Are you sure about that, Barb?" And then it just kept going and going and going. And I'm like, "God, that's just a cliched horror movie sound, isn't it?"
Yeah.
And well, I mean, this did pick up on the recording. It didn't seem like it was loud enough that, you know, it would actually come across.
You've got to remember, there's tens, maybe hundreds of thousands of truckers right now in the middle of the night moving out across the country, and shows like this just scare the living you-know-what out of them. Why should people not be scared by what they're about to hear? I mean, Barbara tends to have a pretty positive attitude about all of this. Me, I freak out a little bit. So, Barb, you address the people out there and tell them, why should they not be scared by what they're about to hear?
Well, there's really nothing harmful in it. I think if people are afraid, it's not something that they should indulge in, you know. I don't understand why people are afraid of it and go out and try to do it.
I understand.
I wouldn't do it if I was afraid of it.
Well, I understand that, too. And, you know, clearly that's a pretty good attitude to have, but not an easy one to have. I just don't see how you cannot be afraid by some of this. I mean, after all, some of the ones we've heard, voices saying, it's dark here, little children, it's cold here. I mean, there's no way, Barbara, that these are not scary things to me.
Well, they're unusual things, and we don't understand them, but they really aren't scary, although I understand people do get scared of things they don't understand.
Well, all right, look, when I die, I expect to have wings and be flitting from cloud to cloud.
And I hope you are.
You know, that sort of thing. And I'm sure that's what all hope. But listening to what people are about to hear, it's not the angelic future we all, or most of us, expect. If that's so,
yeah,
I mean,
think it's very different than, I think we look at it, the normal people look at it almost childlike.
Well, and people have so many preconceived notions that, you know, this is Hollywood. This is, you know, what I've seen on certain Hollywood movies. And
but it's not.
It's not anything like that. I mean, we have yet to encounter anything that matches something we've seen in some Hollywood movie. And once you get that notion out of your head that this isn't Hollywood...
No, it's not Hollywood, but that's why it scares the hell out of me. I mean,
well,
it's...
yeah, okay, that does make sense. I think what we do is we look at these as actual people. We look at these as people who have had a body, they've died, maintain the same personality.
The number, if you're interested in one of the items I mentioned, there's really many more. The fax number, only for this purpose, and for that only, is area code 775-582-1310. All right, coming up in a moment, the voices. The voices. All right, here we go. Welcome back, you two. First of all, I guess we ought to know, are all the voices we're going to hear from the same location tonight, or what?
Three different locations.
Oh. And what would be the first location?
We were at a mausoleum.
A mausoleum. What a surprise.
You knew that was coming.
Well, it wasn't a hard guess. A mausoleum. Okay. A mausoleum.
And we have them posted on the website so that people can go and
oh, you know, plug your website. This way you can listen and, you know, like hit it again and again and again and really determine if you're hearing what you think you're hearing. What is your website?
It's GhostPix, that's P-I-X, .com.
GhostPix.com.
That's it.
Okay, that's P-I-X, so it's easy, folks. And my guess is, what they're going to hear tonight, is that already up there, or will it be?
Yeah, we posted it about 10 minutes before we started the show.
Okay. All right, number one, here we go.
All right, this first one, you're going to hear Roger, one of the members of the GIS, say, hey, Brendan, and Brendan says back, yo. And Roger says, come here when you can. I'll show you something freaky. And Brendan says, what? And Roger says, I'll show you something freaky. And then this voice comes in. It sounds like it's saying, I'm getting big.
Okay, let's take a listen.
Hey, Brendan. Yo. Come here when you can. I'll show you something freaky.
What?
I'll show you something freaky.
Okay, there was obviously a lot of echo because it was inside the mausoleum, so that was a natural echo, right?
Oh, yes.
Yeah, okay.
That was what was so, I think, bad about this. We had just started using this condenser mic, and as you mentioned, I mean, it does pick up everything.
It does.
And, you know, to bring it inside this mausoleum... Big marble ceilings and everything's marble. And
lots of echo.
Yeah.
All right, one more time.
Go. Come here when you can. Show something freaky.
What?
I'll show you something freaky.
Yeah. That's the best I'd be able to do that, too, is I'm getting big. Interesting.
And then wonder what that means. I mean, I guess there's only so many ways you can take it. But
yeah, you don't, you know, I'm getting to be a big spirit.
Who knows?
Yeah, who knows? Now, that was really, in my way of thinking, unrelated, if that's what it was saying, to anything you said.
Oh, yeah.
You agree?
Yes, definitely.
It had nothing to do with what was going on at that time.
Huh.
I don't believe, you know. I mean, I don't think it had anything to do with their conversation.
All right. How many of these are in the mausoleum?
Just the first three.
The first three, because there is a lot of echo there. It makes it harder.
Yes.
I think.
But I thought it was interesting, even the EVP had echo to it.
Oh, that's an awfully good point. If it was directly imprinted on electromagnetic media, it wouldn't have echo.
That's it.
Ho-ho. Very good. All right, number two.
All right, now in this clip, again, at the mausoleum, you're going to hear Barbara say, "Does anyone want to say anything to us or talk to us?" I mean, it's a really standard thing we say when we're out.
Right.
And it almost sounds like the same voice as before, but this time she says, "I'm really warm."
Huh. All right, here we go. Listen carefully. You're trying to hear, "I'm really warm" at the end. We'll talk a little bit about that, about trying to hear something.
"Anyone want to say anything to us or talk to us?"
Warm. I'm getting warm. No question about that. I think that was quite clear, even though the echo was definitely there. That's really weird. The fact that the echo is there is really weird. That does almost nail it down, doesn't it? That it's an actual audible imprint that we're getting. Now, they've gone to condenser mics, which are famously more sensitive than other types they have used in the past. So you will hear again, I think they're right, "I'm getting warm." Now, there is always the question of whether they heard "I'm really warm" and, you know, they just told you essentially what to hear, and so that's what you hear. Your brain, of course, tries to make sense out of something that apparently does not make sense. That's what we do with it. Our brains do that. If I were to show you a picture of some random clouds, if you sat there and looked at it long enough, you would say, "Well, gee, that looks like a rabbit," or "it looks like..." Well, it works the same way with audio. If it is suggested to you that you will hear something, you hear it. Again, see if you hear, "I'm getting," or rather, "I'm really warm." Listen carefully. "I'm really warm." All right, so let's deal with this question. It does sound like "I'm really warm" to me, but would it have sounded that way to me if you had not told me what to listen for?
And that's just it, and I am glad you brought that up, because one of the main things regarding EVP is it is very subjective, and it's always been that way. Very rarely do you hear a voice that right off the bat, every, you know, the five of us listen to it and go, "Oh, that's what it says."
Yeah.
And I guess really us putting down what we think it says stems from, you know, just doing the show. I mean, we've got to say it sounds like something. And to us, you know, we listen to them 1,000 times before we ever send them out to you. So this is just kind of what we think from listening to them that many times is what's being said.
Another question for those who might want to venture out and try this for themselves. How many hours of recording time do you have to do generally, typically, on an average, to get an EVP?
I would say at least two. I mean, you know, there's times that you can turn on the recorder and within 5 minutes record something.
Right.
There's other times you record for 6 hours and get absolutely nothing. it varies so much. And I think the whole key is just keep going back and keep doing it.
Yeah, but if you were to average it out, you're saying probably about every 2 hours you'd...
Exactly, yeah.
You know,
if you're at an investigation for 2 hours, when we come home, there's another 2 hours to listen to the audio, and then another 2 hours to review the videotape.
Oh, my gosh. That's an awful lot of work.
It is an awful lot of work.
The two of you are otherwise employed, right?
Yes.
And so that's kind of how it's, I guess, the GIS membership supports itself for the most part.
Yes. You have to eat and have a roof over your head and then be able to purchase equipment on the,
that's right. So
you mentioned this, I don't know how many times on your show. This whole thing is just, it's a labor of love for us. We enjoy it so much. And with us, we've proved without a shadow of a doubt to ourselves that this exists. This is really out there. And anything else that we do is the equivalent to, the old sixth grade show and tell.
Yeah.
This is what we've done. This is what we've recorded. If you're interested, do it yourself.
Has it changed the way you view life and death and the afterlife and your religions and that kind of thing?
I wouldn't say religion. I mean, it definitely changes the way you think, because all of a sudden you realize, well, there is something else. There's something else out there. As far as religion goes, I mean, I haven't heard enough, especially regarding EVP, that would justify me saying, well, there is whatever religion out there. I mean, I certainly haven't heard any voices referring to Jesus or Muhammad.
That's kind of a shock to me.
Is it?
Yeah, it is. I would expect, references to Jesus or, I don't know, Muhammad or whatever anybody's belief, wherever it takes them. I just would expect that from the other side, but
you look at, in reality, all the people that isn't in their thoughts the majority of the time.
No, but that would be the top of the line over there on the other side, you would think, if all the religions
then you've got to ask yourself, why are they here? I mean, they obviously haven't gone to another side. Well, I mean, they've gone to another side, but they haven't gone to the version of heaven or hell or whatever it is we think of.
Right.
I mean, they're here.
They're still here.
So, I mean, they must not be aware of religion. I mean, obviously, if they're still stuck
they're
here
still
for
very
whatever
physical,
reason.
They're still tied somehow emotionally to
Do you think that contributes then to their many times what we perceive as, I mean, they really sound unhappy sometimes.
I believe myself that people that when they pass on and if they don't go to where they should be going and they stay around here and interact with the living, I think that they would be very sad.
Well, they don't, though, really interact with the living. Unless you count the work you do, for example, or the Meek's work, that kind of thing, there's not that much going on.
Well, it depends on... You talk to people that are having ghost experiences, and it's a lot.
Well, yeah, there is that kind of interaction. But, I mean, for the spirits on the other side, there can't be a great deal of satisfaction, and there should be a lot of frustration in trying to communicate with the living because they, for the most part, can't do it. They can come along and occasionally scare the hell out of us, but that's about it.
And I'm glad you brought up frustration because I think that is a very key thing over there. I mean, as far as ghosts are concerned.
Yes.
And I think that leads a lot to the hauntings you hear about. Because these things, over time, they must get frustrated. Nobody pays attention to me. Nobody's listening to what I'm saying. And they can't understand it.
A lot of confusion involved with them, too.
Do you, too, have any indication that... I mean, for example, do you ever hear from one individual on an ongoing basis?
We did.
It varies by location to location, but we have recorded the same voice, over numerous investigations at the same location. Actually, a couple of the clips tonight, I believe, are the same voice.
Well, it seems to me, And I just, of course, see this as a mortal would see it. But if you're on the other side and you're able to observe human beings going on about their daily lives, and you're either haunting or trying to get a message through, and you're being frustrated and you're unhappy about that, I don't know, you try. If for example, if you're one of these spirits and you run into somebody like yourselves who are actually trying to hear this, you would make an extra effort. You would say, finally, here's somebody who's trying to hear me. Let's see what we can do.
Oh, yeah. And I think that leads to a lot of the EVP that we record. And we've also noticed it seems like that when we go back to a location over and over again, that it's almost like they realize that we're there doing this. So it seems like we pick up more EVP than we had, you know, the two times prior that we had been there.
Right. All right. Let's move on to number three. Again, and the final one in the mausoleum where you're going to hear this kind of echo. Number three?
Okay. We were in the mausoleum for quite a while, and we decided to step outside to go have a break. And we left all of our equipment inside. And you'll hear me saying, we invite anyone to speak with us. We invite you to tell us your name and talk with us. I hope you'll introduce yourself. I'm Barbara. And then you're going to hear us walking out, the door shut, and then a woman laughs after we close the door.
Okay, that was you. It'll be you closing the door, and then we're listening for a woman's laugh?
Yes.
Here we go.
We
invite
anyone to speak with us.
That sure does sound like a woman laughing to me. And okay, so that's Barbara leaving the mausoleum, closing the door, and then comes Les.
Is anybody here?
No. Let's go back here. Here we go.
We invite
you
to speak with us. And we invite you to go in your name and talk with us and you introduce yourself. I'm Barbara.
That is clearly a woman's laugh.
Yeah, there was me and Jenny were the two women that were there, and neither one of us laughed like that. That wasn't our laugh.
Well, and at that point, nobody else was inside the mausoleum after the door was shut.
It's nice to hear a little humor from the other side, if you ask me.
It is, once in a while, isn't it?
Oh, yeah. I'll say. Definitely nice to hear a little bit of humor, to know that people can have humor, can react. That's one of the basic, you know, what do we have? Love, hate, different emotions, jealousy, various emotions. It's just good to hear a happy one.
Yes, because they're very few and far between.
Well, that's too bad. But apparently, a spirit, even though they know they have not transitioned all the way to the top, you guys firmly believe that, right?
That's my belief, yes.
Stay close to the phone for me.
Yes.
And is that true of you? I notice you stay silent at these moments, Brendan. Do you disagree a little bit?
No, I don't actually. I do believe, I mean, there is something else. You know, I do believe in the concept of heaven. I just believe that for whatever reason, these entities that we hear from are stuck here.
Yeah, that's why I asked you about, you know, the longer term thing. I guess I'm really asking is, have you ever observed anybody being there, and then suddenly being gone as if, you know, graduation time had arrived and they had moved on?
Oh, yes.
Oh.
There was a man that repeatedly spoke to us every time we went to this one cemetery. We'd record his voice almost every time we'd go.
Right.
And we haven't recorded him for years now.
Do you believe he's moved on?
I hope he has.
But you have no way of knowing for sure.
Yeah.
All right. The two of you stay right where you are. From the Ghost Investigators Society, and we're about to enter an interesting territory here. I have no idea where the next voices come from. But again, it's newer technology. Well, it's actually old technology. They're using, finally, a condenser mic, which, A, would certainly indicate that we are dealing with a phenomenon that's actually audible. That's what this would seem to say to me. And number two, once we're out of the mausoleum, my expectation is the voices will be somewhat clearer. We'll find out in a moment. Life is short. Take risks. Guys, welcome back.
Thank you.
Good to have you. And now we're going to move. The next ones are going to come out of the mausoleum. So where are we headed from the mausoleum?
All right. These next two are actually from a private residence that we did. And
how often do you do that?
What? Private
Go
residence?
To a private residence, yeah.
Quite often, actually.
At the request, no doubt, of the inhabitants.
Oh, yes. Yeah. Between private residences and just, you know, businesses that are still operating, I would say that probably makes up about 80% of what we do.
Oh, no, really? I think I've heard a disproportionate number of cemeteries, but you do go to a lot of private residences. Now, I know you guys are not rich. You don't make money from doing this, so you can't go traipsing around the country on request, and I'm sure you get many of them, right?
Yes, we do.
How do you handle it?
Well, we can only go to the ones that are close by most of the time. We plan, you know, trips and go to locations and make arrangements, but it's like a yearly trip that we do.
Okay, so, and for the record, you're in Utah?
Yes.
Utah, all right. So typically, how far might you travel?
Oh, well,
we've gone up into Montana. We've gone up into Wyoming.
East Coast. I mean, you know, as far as we can get to. Price of gas now, though. I think Barbara said this before. We'll be lucky to get around our block.
Yeah, that's a good point. All right, let us go then to number four, recorded at a private residence, apparently at the behest of the inhabitants.
That's correct. And okay. I do want to mention these next two voices. The echo is gone. The voices themselves are a little low, but we put them on to show that this is the kind of thing we can pick up with a condenser mic where a digital recorder, an analog tape recorder, anything else would not have picked up these voices at all.
Really? All right, so this is pretty, they'll be pretty far into the noise is what you're saying.
Yeah, in a way, but I think they're still very discernible. I mean, definitely hear there's something there that shouldn't be.
Well, let's find out. All right, so number four is?
All right, this one you're going to hear me say is, anybody here, tell us your name. And then after that, it sounds like an older man saying, did you want to talk to me?
All right, let's see if that's what we think. Wait a minute, we won't find out that way. Get the EVP disc in and go to number four, or we're not going to hear a thing. Here we go. All right, so again, we're going to try in here. Did you want to talk to me? Listen carefully.
Is anybody here? Tell us your name.
Yeah, 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 I hear it. All right, well, I wonder how all of you did with that out in the radio audience. I was able to quite clearly, of course, I'm wearing headphones, and I guess I've got a little bit of advantage. I've got the volume way up with headphones, so listen carefully.
Is anybody here? Tell us your name.
Uh-huh. Okay, so, yes, did you want to talk to me? That's exactly what it sounded like.
That's it.
Or your suggestion to me worked. Yeah, kind of sing-songy. And, yes, very far down in the noise. Now, the one thing, of course, about using a condenser mic is you're going to pick up a lot more ambient noise.
That's correct, yes. I've definitely noticed that since, as we're setting this up, I mean, I do monitor what's going on. I have headphones on. I can listen to what's around.
But with that kind of gain, you're really going to get a lot of ambient noise. Now, have you considered heavier filtering to take the ambient out, or have you already done that?
We haven't done it yet. I mean, it definitely is something we're considering. The whole thing with the condenser is it's been 2 months since we've been using it. So, I mean, we have just really started experimenting with it.
Yeah, that's right. It's been quite a number of months since we've done a program, right?
Yeah, actually.
Yeah, so during that time you were using the condenser. Okay, and here comes another example of a voice pretty far into the noise, right?
Yes, it's low.
Okay, you think it's a child?
No, this is the one that I was going to tell you about. You're going to hear Brendan say, "How old are you?"
Uh-huh.
And it sounds like a man, and he says, well, Brendan hears, "I'm about 3. When I listen to it, I hear I'm above 6.
Really? Oh, that's not even close. Right, let's see what we hear.
How old are you?
Come on. I can't make either one out. Let me try again. I couldn't get either one, really.
How old are you?
I could hear perhaps I be about 3.
That's what Brendan hears.
I be about 3. Well, Brendan heard I'm about 3.
Uh-huh.
I heard I be about 3.
I be about 3.
Let me see how my suggestion works for the audience. All right, everybody, listen for I be about 3.
How old are you?
So I wonder if my suggestion to the audience resonated. I wonder if they heard I be about 3. I wonder how strong the power of suggestion is in this whole process. I suspect with these marginal ones that we're hearing, pretty strong.
Oh yes, definitely, definitely. It's as I mentioned before, I mean, EVP is very subjective. Up until you get these, you know, Class A recordings, they're just so, I mean, everybody hears them and goes, well, that's exactly what's being said.
Yeah.
I actually think this next one is about that way. It's very strong, and in my mind, there's no question what it's saying.
Okay, but we'll get to that in a second. Is there any question in your mind about the power it takes to get these voices to be recorded? In other words, from the other side, are there some that obviously have more ability, more power, more of whatever it takes to get the voice through?
Oh, yeah, I definitely think so. I think that it takes quite a bit of power for them to even manifest, you know, the slightest voice. And if you listen to these, some of them almost sound like, if you've ever heard somebody that's hearing impaired try to speak,
yes,
that's how it sounds. And it's almost like either they can't hear themselves as they're talking, or, you know, using noise in the atmosphere to create a voice, or it just takes so much power they can't do it. They can't do it and make it sound like, you know, we do.
This is me struggling to understand the nature of the other side and how it's being done. Oh, well, okay, number 6. Let's move on.
All right. Now, we're actually somewhere else for the rest of these recordings. These are all done at the Exchange Building. And a couple shows ago, we did a show pretty much with nothing but voices from this building.
You call it the Exchange Building. What is that?
It's a stock exchange building.
Originally, yeah. In the 1920s, it was a stock exchange building. And then
cattle and sheep and...
Then it switched over. It was offices. It was a bank. And then it turned into a health and human services building, so mental health facility.
No kidding.
I don't know if you recall, a couple shows ago, we played a clip of what sounds like a child in water.
Yes, I recall very clearly.
This is the building. And we were really excited to go back with this condenser mic and you know, see if we could pick anything else up.
See what you could do. Okay, number six.
All right. In this clip, you're going to hear me see, or you're going to hear me say, see, mainly what I'm doing here with the photographs now is just photographs to document the way the place looks. And then the owner of the building says, yeah. And then you hear what sounds like a kid say, push it with that one.
All right, here we go.
See, mainly what I'm doing with the photographs now is just photographs to document the way the place looks.
Yeah.
Wow. All right, well, that was clearly a child's voice. That was quite clear. And it did sound like it was saying, push it with that one. Again, a child's voice. Now, hey, there were no children present?
Absolutely not.
No.
We never allow anyone under the age of 18 with us. If we're investigating a house that has children, before we come to the location, we'll actually ask the parents to have the kids stay with the grandparents or somewhere else.
All right, that in mind, here it is again.
See, mainly what I'm doing with the photographs now is just photographs to document the way the place looks.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's quite clear. Definitely quite clear. I can tell you this. You're going to have a lot of luck if you take some good software and a computer and you filter out what is now become the ambient amplifier noise of the condenser mic. If you filter that out, it's going to get scary clear.
And that almost worries me in a way. I mean, as you've noticed listening to these, all EVP seems to have this general sound. A lot of them seem to be devoid of consonants. And I just, that was the whole reason for starting this condenser mic, is just to hear how clear we could possibly get these.
Sure.
I'm really hoping that, you know, they get clearer over time.
No, I think you've made the right move with a condenser mic. You've proven something, number one. Number two, they will be much more audible. But number three, believe me, when you start messing around with eliminating the frequencies that are not contained in the voice, it's really going to get clear. So that's a path to follow, Brandon.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Okay. Number seven.
All right. Still in the exchange building, you're going to hear Brendan say, yeah, you're right, that is a pretty big difference. And then this voice comes in, and it sounds like it says, they might learn something.
They might learn something. Okay, here we go.
Yeah, you're right. That is a pretty big difference.
I'm not sure what I'm hearing at the end. They might, I clearly hear. I don't know that I'm hearing learn something. Let's see.
Yeah, you're right. That is a pretty big difference.
All right, I'm not sure of the end of that.
I'm not either.
It's clearly saying something, and it almost seems like it's contemporary. If it is, they might learn something. That would make it sort of contemporary. How many times have the two of you had a direct, immediate, obviously connected response to something you've said?
I would say 40% of the time. It seems to be related to either something we've said or something that we're doing at the time. Not even something we're audibly saying, but, you know, just looking for equipment or something.
Yeah. That's amazing. Absolutely amazing. And I'm not sure whether I want to believe it's contemporary or whether I'd be happier not believing that. I guess I would like to see you or somebody else continue the work, the Meeks work. I mean, after all, Meeks had an ongoing, contemporary, full exchange conversation going with somebody on the other side.
Right. And we have been, you know, ever since we actually posted all those recordings on the website, we have been contacted by numerous people who are trying to build or rebuild the machine now. And they've promised as soon as they do and start trying to make contact, they'll send us the recordings. So I'm really looking forward to hearing that.
How would you feel if you were able to actually get into a real-time, responsive, long-term conversation with somebody on the other side? How would you feel about that?
I would probably be ecstatic.
I can't even imagine what you'd do, Bart.
Really?
It'd be a dream come true.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
What questions would you ask if you were able to?
I would ask, why are they still here? One of the things I'd want to know.
How about where are you? Where are you?
That's that. I mean, I'd also like to know, are they even aware? I mean, are they aware that they've passed on, that they're not physically here anymore?
Oh, that's an awfully good question. And is there much to suggest in all of your EVPs that these people are aware they're dead? I mean, I remember a couple of EVPs where they actually said, "I'm dead," or something like that.
Yeah, there was a lady that said, "I'm completely dead."
Dead, that's right. I remember that. But other than that, there haven't been very many.
Not many EVPs, but there are a lot of cases of hauntings where, you know, they see an apparition walk through a wall or just walk through a room, and then they go, you know, look at the plans of the building and realize, well, you know, there was a doorway where that wall was, you know, 60 years ago. And it's almost like the entity is seeing what it was like when they were alive and not the way the location looks now.
Oh, isn't that interesting?
I've also heard that reported on a dance floor at a hotel in, I think it was in Hollywood, where they redid the floor and it was up a couple of inches higher than what the original floor was. And a
wow.
Ghost of a man has been repeatedly witnessed. And after the floor was done, they can't see his feet. It's just from the ankle up.
So they could be, whether you want to say another unit, in another universe, another timeline, another reality.
Yeah.
A completely different reality than we're in.
Of course, everyone has their own reality.
Yeah, I guess it's somewhat subjective, but then that doesn't jive very well with contemporary responses to you all. In other words, if they're in another dimension, another reality, how are they coming up with responses to you?
And the thing is, they may be two completely different things. What we look, you know, when we get these contemporary voices, you know, that may be ghosts. And the other thing, you know, as Barbara mentioned, the man dancing on the floor not being able to see his feet.
Right.
That may be some other dimension. I mean, that may have nothing to do with people that have passed on.
All right. Once again, Barbara McBeth and Brendan Cook. Welcome back, you two.
Thank you.
Okay. Do you guys think that you'll continue doing this on into time, for the rest of your life? Or will you come to a conclusion and stop doing it and just say, we've done enough? I mean, have you talked about that?
I don't see any reason I'm ever going to stop.
Brendan and Jenny both said they'd be pushing me and Roger around in our wheelchairs when it comes to that point. So.
Really? Do you think that any point, I mean, do you have hopes that you will discover some new aspect of this? Yes, you're getting voices. Some are contemporary. Some are perhaps, you know, what was left behind, it seems like. But are we going to learn anything about where these people are, about where they go, about the nature of the other side? Or is it going to take another Meeks-type experiment to get that far?
It may. I mean, ultimately, that would be great to, you know, learn more about it. But I have already accomplished what I planned on when I started this, and that was to prove it to myself. And anything on top of that is just kind of icing on the cake. Well, it's great. But
yeah, well, that's kind of what I was saying, that you sound almost as though you might be at the point where I feel like I've learned as much as I can learn. And, you know, yeah, it's icing on the cake, but we might not get any more doing what we're doing now.
That's it. That's exactly it.
Yeah,
but
okay.
I will continue doing this as long as I'm able to. I mean, it's something I enjoy.
Good for you. I'm all a fan of doing what you enjoy. Number eight.
All right. Now, this gives you a comparison. This was actually recorded with a digital recorder, not the condenser mic.
Right.
And you'll hear the complete difference. You're going to hear me say, that's a nasty little bump right there. And then a child, it sounds like he says, come walk with me.
Okay, let's see.
Go! Come here when you can. Show some freaky.
No. Again. The operator here is in the wrong place. Let's try it again.
Yeah, you're right. That is a pretty big difference.
All right. Here are my observations. Number one, I cannot also conclude it says, come walk with me. However, I have another conclusion, and it's that I might prefer this mode. Let's listen again.
Yeah, you're right. That is a pretty big difference.
All right. Now, so here it is. I couldn't understand that very well, whatever it was. It might have said, come walk with me. I don't know. But whatever it was clear of other background noise.
That was actually track 7 that you just played.
That was track 7, right. They might learn something. Not come walk with me, that's next. But anyway, my comment stand. I couldn't quite understand what was said there, but it did sound a little clearer to me.
Right.
There was very little background noise to go with it, right?
That's correct, and that one was with the condenser mic.
Oh, it was?
Yeah, track 8 was the one that was with the digital recorder.
Well, then, all right, then fine. Let's all right. I'm glad I'm wrong. Here's number 8, and number 8, again, Brendan, is you saying that's a nasty little bump right there, or something like that, right?
That's it, yeah.
And then come walk with me?
That's correct.
All right.
That's a nasty little bump right there.
Well, that does prove one thing. Since I replayed number 7, they might learn something was unintelligible, I thought, the first time, and I obviously thought the same thing the second time. Now, what we just heard, number 8, which I'll do again right here, is quite clear and does sound like come walk with me.
That's a nasty little bump right there.
That almost sounds like a pushed voice.
What's that?
A pushed voice. What do I mean by that? As though somebody's making up a voice. You know, raising their voice intentionally and come on. I can't imitate it. My voice won't go high enough, but you get the idea.
Right, right. I mean, there was, at that point, there was just me and the owner of the building. We were the only ones there.
Very little additional ambient noise.
What was that?
Very little additional ambient noise in the background, so it was quite clear.
Yes, yes. And we were actually in the basement just walking into one of the rooms there. And, you know, if you go back and listen to a lot of the kids' voices that we've played, I think, to me, they sound a lot like that.
Yeah, the word I used was pushed. You know, sort of if you were going to make up a voice, kind of like you were trying to make up a voice or something, but... very interesting. And this next one, 9, really looks interesting.
Well, this next one, it just came out of the blue. There was no other talking before this came in. And the interesting thing is there was a car driving by, and this voice sounds to me like the same voice that Trinan recorded on the previous one.
However, this one was with the condenser mic.
This one was, yeah, with the condenser. And
okay.
It's a child that, it sounds like a child, and he says either he cut my face or he touched my face, and he repeats that. This one really disturbs me. The child sounds very upset, and this voice is not looped. It repeats about six times.
So what you're going to hear is not a looped thing, which we do for clarity, so you can hear it several times normally, but it's going to be just repeated six times?
Yes.
Okay, here you go. Okay, yeah, I hear it. He touched my face six times. Now, this is very interesting because certainly it would eliminate the possibility of, for example, RF from a radio station or some other source, and it's clearly a child's voice, isn't it? Listen again very carefully. It's pretty far in the noise. I'm not positive I'm a fan yet of the condenser. Here we go. Yeah. Okay, here are my comments. Yeah, it does sound like he touched my face. But again, there's an awful lot of noise with that. I heard the car going by. That would be easy to filter out, by the way. That's, you know, it's such a different frequency. You could take that out easily. And then I also heard what seemed to be either just general amplified noise, Brendan, or there was something contributing almost a hum in there.
Yeah, there was, actually. That was recorded in a room that had a... some kind of soda machine. I think the refrigeration unit had kicked on.
That would do it. And that's the downside of a condenser mic. All right, I'm obligated to do another break. So let's do that very quickly. We'll be right back. Well, all right, Brendan, I'm going to be honest with you. I think that the condenser mic is good. You pick up more, no question about it. But it may be overshadowed right now by the additional noise that comes with the EVPs. If you do some filtering, I think that the condenser may turn out to be a winner. That's what I would say.
Oh, yeah, definitely. And I think... with it being so new, and I mean such a new technology for us as far as, you know, our investigations go.
I understand.
Just taking time to kind of refine it.
No, what you're doing has proven something important, and that is that these are actually audible voices that are being picked up. So from that point of view, it's a major, I guess, revelation. But at the same time... they're really not quite as clear, but you can win this by filtering. I guarantee if you filter it out, the condenser is going to turn out to be a winner. All right, number 10.
All right, now, this one, you're going to hear me say, all right, what I'll do is set this down in here and we'll move it. Actually, before we do this, let's stop this, save the file, and start all over again. I'm just talking about the... condenser mic file that we were using. And this,
right.
Again, was recorded with a digital recorder, not the condenser mic.
And oh, okay.
You're going to hear the owner say, okay, and then a woman comes in, and to me, I can't understand the first part of what she says, but she ends with what sounds like every lover.
All right, let's see what we get.
All right, what I'll do is I'll set this down in here. I'll move it.
Actually, you know, before we do that, stop and save the file and start all over again.
Okay.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
I'll
save
the
file
over.
Wow.
Oh, man.
that sounds to me like, all right, I'll say the word lover. Now, I have just made a suggestion to you. See what you think.
All right. What I'll do is set this down in here. I'll move it.
Actually, you know, before we do it, stop and say the problems are over here.
I'll say the word lover.
I'll say the word lover.
What do you think?
I do think it says every lover.
Say it again?
Every lover is what I catch the two last words.
Really? Well, we agree on lover, but not the rest. Brendan?
It's the same thing. I just hear every lover. I really can't make out the first part of that.
All right, again, here we go.
All right, what I'll do is set this down in here. I'll move it.
Actually, you know, before we do it, stop and say the problems are over here.
Oh, yeah, that's a woman.
I'll say the word lover.
All right, I'll say the word lover. Listen.
I'll say the word lover.
That's amazing. I don't know. That's what I hear. Clearly, though, it's a mature, kind of a sexy sounding.
Yeah.
You disagree?
No, I think
no,
that's...
Huh? Yeah, that's...
Very provocative sounding.
Yeah, provocative sounding. Thank you very much. That was extremely interesting. Extremely interesting. And just wait till you try a filter on this. All right, number 11.
Okay, this one, there's no... talking before it, it's just the voice. It sounds like it says, I don't want to come, I don't want to come back.
Really? Okay. A lot of hum. All right. Well, that's pretty buried in hum, Brennan.
Oh, it is. And I've noticed, just like, what was it, track 9, I think, the
right.
Touched My Face.
Right.
Both of those were recorded about the same way. They were just kind of left there. And what's interesting is both of those recorded about the time that that refrigeration unit kicked on.
Yeah. I'm telling you, buddy. A good filter will take that right out, and all you'll be left with is the voice. So
the advantage of that big mic is that you can't carry it around with you.
Yep.
Really? It's that big?
Oh, it's a good size. Fairly good size, and then you add the mixer into it and having to be connected to a hard drive to record the sound. It's
right.
Not as portable as what we normally use.
My guess is some in the audience will take these recordings and do the filtering work themselves. And what we're going to get at the end of that, it'll be fun to compare that to the old digital method, which, you know, didn't have the amplification, but it did have the clarity. So, you know.
And the portability.
So it sounds like you're still a fan of the old way, Barbara. Is that?
Yes, I wish so bad I could find a good tape recorder.
Yes.
I like having that physical tape.
Do you?
Oh, yeah.
You're still hanging on to that,
Oh,
huh?
Yeah. You know,
well,
my age is showing.
Well, so's mine. But, you know...
but you're more technically advanced than I am.
Well, and I'm a fan of digital. I mean, come on, let's face it. It's not going to get better and quieter, signal to noise-wise, than digital. It's just the addition of the new mic. On the one hand, good. We've proven something. On the other hand, it picks up a lot of external stuff that mixes with it. So, I don't know. If you're doing judgment on, we'll get a lot of feedback from the audience and see if they feel the same way, whether you should go back to digital or simply go to filtering and clean it up that way. So I'm with you guys on the experimentation, but I do think you've proven something very important, that it's actually audible. Do you suppose it's audible only very close to the microphone in question? I mean, so close to the microphone that it's barely there.
Yeah, that's really the interesting thing, because we record voices that sound like, you know, they're yards and yards away.
Right.
As opposed to our voices being right next to the microphone. So, I mean, it's so hard to tell, but like you mentioned before, it does sound like there's some kind of distance involved with them speaking and
exactly.
what we hear.
Exactly. All right.
Is anyone here?
Hello, is anyone here? Yeah, that's actually a very good one. A lot of these have been very good, and I am convinced, I really honestly am convinced, that when we finally get going here and we get filtering done, this is going to be totally awesome. It's going to be just an amazing thing to behold. So you all make judgments. Send me an email. Send them an email. You understand, because I do, that what we're hearing is real here. It's not a radio station, not somebody's CB. It's not somebody else in the building. It's not something hokied up. It's real. These are voices from either another dimension, the other side. We really don't know, and my guests don't know. We're really not sure. There's no way to be sure yet. But it's real. What you're hearing is real. Make of it what you will. It's the real McCoy. That much I guarantee. We'll be right back. Back we are, and again, worth mentioning, you know, argue as we will about the technical aspects of this, the bigger picture is what you've got to keep in mind, and we sure are hearing something. All right, you two, welcome back. Number 12, let's knock them down.
All right. Now this one, you're going to hear me saying, hello, is anyone here? And then you're going to hear again what sounds like a kid saying, it's cold. It's cold.
Oh, I hate these. I do hate these. One thing you don't want it to be on the other side is cold.
Well, that's it.
Yeah. All right. Here we go.
Hello. Is anyone here?
Oh, God. Oh, man. Oh, not good. Oh, that may be the worst one I've ever heard.
Really?
I'll tell you why. Because you could hear the plaintive cry of a little child. I mean, there's no other way for me to describe what I just heard. The
it's
plaintive...
like it's suffering.
Yes, thank you. Like it's suffering. Oh, that was terrible. Here it is again. See if you all get it the same way. I think it's just, I mean, it's very concerning.
Hello, is anyone here?
Oh, jeez. You know, I just noticed something else that I could swear I heard a different intonation in the voice in the second or third loops.
Yes, it's like it's stressing it.
Did you hear that?
Yes.
But this is a loop, right? So it's got to be the same. In other words, the first one, I hate to do this, but we're listening to this one again. All right, listen carefully, folks. What I think I heard, and I could be totally wrong, is I think I heard an increased stress or intonation in the voice in the second or third loop recording. Let me see.
Hello, is anyone here?
Wow. I don't know what to say about that, except that scares me.
Very sad, isn't it?
Yeah, that's really sad. And I don't know how you can... I don't know if I can accept, for example, as you said earlier, that it's somebody earlier, you know, projecting earlier in their life or something. That was too much.
Well, on that one, it is hard to say that.
It sure is.
And what happened was we were doing research with the owner of the building.
Yes.
And, you know, we started asking her, you know, hey, we're getting these kids' voices. You know, is there any reason that you can think of that there would have been children here?
And
she had found out that some of the good old boys that live around there, that had been around for years and years, had said that in the early days of that building, there were rumors of child prostitution downstairs.
Oh, good Lord.
Yeah.
All right, number 13.
All right, you're going to hear...
I can barely hear you, hon.
Oh, I'm sorry.
There you go.
You're going to hear Brendan say, I wonder if there is a plug in here.
Right.
And a voice comes in and it says, my name's Afton or Ashton.
Here we go.
I wonder if there's a plug in here.
Either my name's Afton or Ashton. I guess we're probably using the new mic. Is that correct?
That's correct, yes.
All right. I hear we're picking up too much background noise, but here it is again. Listen carefully.
I wonder if there's a plug in here.
No question about it. You hear, particularly when you do the loops with the increased gain, you pick up whatever it was in the background running ever so much more, and that really clobbers the voice, but easily changed. Boy, have you got to get some filtering.
Yeah, I'm definitely starting to become aware of that.
Okay, number 14.
All right, now this one, you're going to hear me whistling, and I do this because the mic is stationary. So I'm basically letting the recording know I'm coming up to the mic.
Right.
So you hear me whistling, and then I say, okay. And then the owner of the building says, I don't think you can do it while it's still recording. She wanted me to show her some filtering technique on the program we run.
Uh-huh.
And then I say, well, probably not. And then you're going to hear a woman in the background saying, someone lied to me.
Here we go.
Okay. I don't think you can do it while
you're still recording it, do you? Probably not. Yeah, someone lied to me. That's exactly what it sounds like. Someone lied to me. In a lot of noise, but definitely there. None of these yet seem to be direct responses to anything any of you said. Well, maybe the one with the name. No, not even that one. So none of these are really direct responses yet, right?
Not too much.
Well, I mean, some are. You know, you've got me saying, hello, is anyone here? And then the voice saying, it's cold.
Yeah.
Yeah,
which might or might not be a direct response.
Well, and that's correct. The one earlier of me saying, is anybody here? Tell us your name. And then the voice saying, did you want to talk to me?
Good point. That's about as close as we got so far. Okay. Number 15. I want you all to be able to answer a few questions from the audience, because I know, I mean, people listen to this and they, how could you not have questions? So, number 15.
Okay, you're going to hear Brendan say, that's scary, I wonder what happened over there. And this voice comes in and it says, it sounds like it says, tell Afton or Ashton to give up.
Okay.
That's scary. I wonder what happened over there.
Yeah. Oh, you're right. You're right. And that relates to number 13, right?
Yes, that's correct.
It sure does. Boy, the same subject. And what are the odds of that? Here we go.
That's scary. I wonder what happened over there.
Yeah, that's really weird. Kind of like you caught two parts of the same thought or conversation.
Well, and just the fact of having a name, I mean, that's the first time in that building that we've actually recorded anyone's name.
Really?
And it's mentioned twice.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, like two parts of a single conversation or thought pattern.
Uh-huh.
All right. Number 16.
All right. Now, this one is me saying, is anybody here? Hello? And then afterwards, it sounds like a very, very young child, almost so young that he can't pronounce his words correctly.
Yes.
The only word I can truly make out is hello. And then afterwards, it sounds like he's saying, they caught me. Why would you do that? But it's definitely hello.
All right. Let's try it.
Is anybody here? Hello?
I agree completely. That sounds like a very young child, which is very troubling. In fact, tonight has been chock full, as Barbara said it would be, with children's voices. The last number, I'll tell you, I'm not going to be getting over, what was it, that young child a little while ago, or maybe even this one for a while. It's just almost too much.
Is anybody here? Hello?
You know, I'd like to hear from some in the audience, some of you, about what you think we're hearing. These are children. I mean, can there be any question about the fact that these are children's voices, troubling children's voices? So, you know, fire me an email and let me know what you all think. I mean, what does it say about the other side or the other dimension or whatever in the heck we're hearing? Do you guys have favorite thoughts about what realm we're hearing, whether it's another dimension, whether it's simply a, you know, it just goes caught here, as you've mentioned before, or it's, you know, spirits of people who were, or whether these are perhaps spirits that never were alive. I mean, how can you know?
No, for me, I mean, in my mind, I think that these are people that have lived, had a body, and they've passed away. And, I mean, they maintain that same personality. They talk the same. I definitely don't think these are demonic or things that have never had a body. And, I mean, I know some people have suggested that to us.
Incredibly sad is comes to mind after listening tonight. Gosh, some of these voices.
And some are very, and, you know, like Barbara says, I don't think they're very happy. I mean, a lot of time, I think that leads them to stay here.
Clearly.
I don't think they'd be here if they were happy.
Clearly, they're not happy. And, you know, I guess in my mind, we adults have had plenty of time to go around sinning and probably get in trouble that might keep us here or, you know, even send us down. Who knows? But, I mean, children, of all things, and so many of them, it's so troubling to hear so many children's voices. They ought not. They should go straight to heaven without passing go.
That's right. That's what I told my husband one night after hearing these. They just... there's so many children. My whole perspective about, there's just something wrong.
Yes, there's something wrong. And I have a feeling there's really something wrong with number 17. Okay, so lay it on me.
Oh, you're going to hear Brendan say, is this thing, it says, is your thing recording? And you're going to hear the owner of the building say, not yet. And Brendan says, oh, okay. And then this voice comes in and it says, you're going to die.
You're going to die. Really? Does it really say you're going to die?
Is your thing recording?
Yeah. Not yet.
Oh, okay.
You see, this is where I'd be retiring from the EVP business. You're gonna die. Now, when a voice from another dimension or the other side tells you you're gonna die, it is time to retire. Is there any question in your mind about what was said there?
Not to me, no. That's the only thing I hear.
You know, we're all gonna die.
And that, you know, that's not the only voice we've had says that.
Yeah, I know we're all going to die, but most of us not expecting tomorrow. And the suggestion by this kind of statement, you're going to die, is, hey, soon. Listen again.
Is your thing recording?
Yeah. Not yet.
Oh, okay.
Oh, my God. When you heard that, didn't you give a moment's thought to, you know, maybe I've had enough?
No. And mainly because we've heard it before. Had that been the only time we'd heard it, yeah, maybe. But,
well, how was it the first time you heard it?
I think then, yeah, it took us back. It's along the lines of when you hear an EVP that says your name, that is almost the same thing. It shocks you. But then you keep going and you get it again and, you know, it becomes part of the procedure.
Okay. Number 18.
All right. Now this one, you're going to hear me say, okay, this is our second recording from the building. We are now getting ready to leave. And then you hear, it sounds like a woman's voice saying, it's dead.
It's dead. Here we go.
Okay, this is our second recording from the end. We are now getting ready to leave.
He's dead.
Oh, boy.
He's dead. He's dead.
Second retirement one. This is bad. It's dead. In sort of a... I don't know. There's emotion behind the voice. Listen...
Okay, this is our second recording from the end. We are now getting ready to leave.
He's dead. He's dead. He's dead.
That's really bad. Really bad. I mean, you have had some bad, bad, bad recordings tonight. Good, but bad, if you know what I mean. These are concerning to me, frightening. What other words might I use to describe these? Scary. Scary. Definitely scary. It's dead or you're gonna die. You know, that's scary. Come on.
I don't take it personal.
I think the whole thing is we have heard so many that it doesn't affect us. I mean, we take the voice as what it is. It's a voice that says something.
So you've never found it to be precognitive on the part of the spirit?
No, no. I mean, this, you know, the You're Gonna Die was recorded quite some time ago, and we're still here.
Suppose you were to hear, a bus will hit you tomorrow.
I may not go out of the house, but I may. I mean, they've said a lot of, you know, I go back to a voice that we played on your show, I think the last time, that it was a man saying, I will kill you bastards.
And, yes, I recall.
You know, that's a direct threat. But did anything happen? No.
Well, not yet. Time is sort of a relative thing over there, right?
Well, and that's true. I even wonder if there is a concept of time.
Right. There may not be any time. So it could be soon. It could be far. Who knows? What I do know is that many of you should have questions based on what you've heard. They don't take money for it. They've got a website. They support it with the jobs they have. You know, this is the real McCoy you're hearing. So if you have questions for Brendan Cook, Barbara McBeth, this is the half hour to do it. You ready for them?
Anytime.
All right. Let's do it. First time caller line, you're on the air with the GIS. Hi.
Hi. First of all, I can't believe I got through. I've been listening to you for 8 years. I love your show.
Thank you.
I have a suggestion. When I grew up doing something we called sitting in our family, where we actually had real-time conversations with spirits. And it was supposed to be that my grandmother had, she possessed this energy, as they would refer to it. And they told us in the circle, that's what we called it, the circle, that if you had water present, it helped give them the ability to speak.
That if you, I'm sorry, if you what?
Had water, like a bowl. We had something we called a trumpet, which is what they used to pick up to speak through. And it was a metal collapsible, like cone.
Right.
And they told us to wash it in water and have a bowl of water.
That might make sense.
And it helped the energy. And they also always told us that heaven is not up, it is out. So that could explain why there are just so many spirits everywhere. And when they would open the door, they said children are always allowed to come into the circle. They're not restricted. They always had permission, and that might be why they get so many children.
Any thoughts on why they're sounding so sad?
I don't know, because they always told us that it was the most pleasant, wonderful, you know, situation that they could ever express.
Boy, it sure didn't sound that way in some of
them. It's just, I have actual tapes myself from the circles.
Well, I would very much like to hear what you have. Can you send that an example?
I could.
All right, then do.
It sounds like a seance.
I'll be in touch with you. Yeah, it sounds very much like a seance. Her comment about having water present, or say a large bowl or something that might amplify a voice, any credibility to that?
Well, we certainly haven't used it before. I have heard about it. And it really could go towards the fact of, you know, you've heard of using white noise to amplify these voices. And, you know, it could be related to that.
It could be. I mean, Meeks was using a soup of tones, right?
Yeah.
That allowed the voices to more easily modulate.
That's it. And we've never really gone to that point. I guess really because we've got such great results not doing it.
Yeah. All right. Wildcard Line, you're on the air with GIS. Good morning.
Good morning. How you doing, Art?
Okay, sir.
Hey, I wanted to ask him, have they ever, like, thought about putting, you know, taking the voices and interpreting them really interesting, like, to the concept of the information that was gathered about a certain place, like the children voices? That was all in one spot, right?
Yeah.
I mean, all concepted to the Constitution. And that was my question. And for a comment, the one about love, I kind of heard about the sound. It sounded like that my husband is the best lover, something like that.
Now, that's interesting that you say that, because the first time I heard it, that's what I thought. I thought I heard something husband lover.
Yeah, that's what kind of caught me, with the H consonant and husband, and something like best or is the greatest or something to that effect. It was kind of garbled on that part. But
hey, caller, what do you think we're hearing here?
Well, really, I'm not really quite sure what it is. I mean, I believe in it and stuff. I believe in the other side. Now, to me, it sounds like, in my perspective, that these voices are being recorded at a level that we can't hear it, but the electronics will hear it.
Yeah.
And it's communication saying, hey, please help me, you know, like an unrested soul, you know, like a haunting. You know, once their soul is rested, you know, you find out who killed them or why they died or something like that, and their soul can rest and cross to the other side. Now, you know, kind of a general idea, perspective about it, but that's just my perception on it.
All right. Very good. Thank you. You two, do you ever get voices of people who have, in your opinion, committed suicide?
Yes.
That was a yes. Get close to the mic.
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah.
Hmm. he says again, because, you know, that many believe that those who commit suicide don't ascend and or meet with the loved ones they wish to meet with on the other side. East of the Rockies. Hi, you're on the air with GIS. Good morning.
Hi, my name is Tracy. I'm calling from New York, and I would like to say congratulations, Art.
Thank you.
And I have one question. Okay, now you said you can do it yourself earlier. Now, do you need a regular tape recorder, or is it like a special type of machine you go by to just go hear these voices? Or?
All right. Good time to make a recommendation, if you would, folks.
Anything that records sound will work.
Okay, so I could just get like a regular tape recorder and put it in like in a room or...
If you do that, though, make sure you always use a brand new tape. Never reuse tapes.
Okay, and I agree with the last. I was going to ask another question about the suicide now. Like when people do commit suicide, can y'all get in touch with them or like... You know, do they say anything? I mean, I was just wondering.
Well, it's going to really depend on that spirit. We have had the occasion to record what we believe is it was a close friend of my husband's and mine who committed suicide, and we went to their house, the house where he committed suicide. His wife and family were having haunting problems after that.
Mm-hmm.
And we believe we recorded our friend.
Do you recall what he said?
I can't repeat it on the air.
Oh, really?
He basically called Barbara's husband by a certain name.
Yeah, okay.
Something you can't say.
All right, fine. That brings up something else. How much of what you get could we not air?
Quite a bit.
Yeah.
Really?
There was actually a really...
A lot of cussing going on over there.
Well, it's just like in real life. I mean, you know, walk into a mall, and you're going to hear a lot of people just cussing for no reason.
Well, that's a very good point. Just like real life. West of the Rockies, you're on the air with GIS. Good morning.
Hi, West of the Rockies?
Yes.
Oh, hi. I've listened to your recordings with Art for several years, and I really believe in the validity of what you're doing.
Well,
I think the research is important.
I believe it is, too.
I'm very interested in the idea of the immediate response, what you get back in communication. And I have a question. When you play these tapes and I'm sitting over here and I hear something different than what you say, can I respond to that on your website, in particular the clip number 2?
Oh, yeah. You can go to our website, listen to the clips. There is an email address specifically set up for voice interpretations. It's
okay,
whatihear@ghostpix.com.
If I could say what I heard on number 2, what I heard, I think, is an immediate response. The question was, does anyone want to talk to us? And what I hear is, I'm anyone.
Oh, really?
Really.
As opposed to, I'm really warm.
Right. No, I hear the warm as one.
Really?
And I hear I'm anyone.
All right.
I think that's an immediate response. I could.
You want to hold on a second?
Sure.
All right. Let's do it. Let's play this again. And you again. So for the audience, you hear what, ma'am?
I hear I'm anyone. Just like.
Do you want to say anything to us or talk to us? I'm anyone.
Oh yeah.
I'm anyone.
All right. You know what? I agree. I mean,
I agree too.
Uh-huh.
So what I think is that some of these things you think aren't immediate responses, I think they are. Because I disagreed with probably only about 3 of your, what you said, but everyone hears it differently.
That's true.
And what's interesting to note is I'm anyone
would
and I'm really warm have the exact same amount of syllables.
Yeah, they do, but, one is a direct response, one isn't.
That's correct.
Important distinction. Caller, thank you.
Thank you for taking my call.
You're very welcome. International Line, you're on the air. Where are you calling from, please?
Hello there. I'm calling from Nuevo León, Mexico.
Mexico. Okay, welcome.
And I think I speak for all of us when I say it's good to have you back, Art. And
thank you.
It's good to have your guests on tonight. It's a really good program. I had an experience with EVPs without a tape recorder. Like you said, they might be audible somewhere away from a tape recorder. Well, I had a ghost speak to me for many years. The past 7 years, I've had a woman that lives in my house. She speaks to me all the time. She's a ghost. I mean, she won't respond to anything I say to her or anything like that, but I can hear her talking.
Huh.
You hear her audibly?
Yes, audibly. It's a soft-spoken voice, but in a certain part of the room that I'm in right now, actually, you can hear her speaking. Every once in a while, she'll just say something. Just like your recordings, they say offhanded things.
And that's
really
been going on. It's been going on how long, sir?
About 7 years.
It takes you by surprise when you hear them, doesn't it?
It used to, but, I mean, they're not have anything to do with me, so I'm really, I just ignore them, you know?
You should try to record.
Yeah, you should try to record.
I definitely could.
Well, definitely do.
All right.
If you're hearing it out loud, then you're going to get some really, really, really good EVPs.
That's
and
correct.
You can send them on to Brendan Cook and Barbara Macbeth on their website, ghostpicks.com. Funny that you would pick ghost pics. You know, in other words, obvious reference to photographs.
No, it was pick out what you wanted to go to.
Uh-huh.
Pictures, videos, or EVP?
Okay. I might have opted for something a little more directly meaningful, ghostvoices.com or something. Probably already taken.
Oh, yeah.
First time caller line, you're on the air with the EVP folks.
Hello?
Hello.
Hey, I was wondering if anybody has ever heard of, if a little kid has died and they have grown. After they've died.
All right. Well, all right. I see what he's saying.
I couldn't understand.
Yeah, he was asking whether there's any evidence that a little child who has died continues in the afterlife to grow. It's an interesting question.
It is, definitely. And I guess I just don't see how you could find that out. Short of, a child telling you his name, and then
growing up
a little bit later, hearing the same person saying, "Well, I'm that person," but in a much older voice.
It's a tough but interesting question. Thanks, Wildcard Line. You're on the air with the GIS folks. Hi. Hello.
Hello.
Yes.
Oh, you got me. Okay. Tape number three. You guys still hear an extra laugh at the end of that tape?
An extra laugh. I don't think we counted them.
The woman laughing. Oh, I'm sorry. It's Billy Dawson. I'm a truck driver. I'm in California right now. But on the end of tag number three, where the woman's laugh.
Yes.
At the very end, there's a man laughing.
Really?
Really? Number three. All right. Well, I'll go back and listen to that. I hate to take the time right now. East of the Rockies, you're on the air with the GIS. Hi.
For taking my call.
You're very welcome. Where are you?
This is Kat, calling from Morgantown, West Virginia, home
okay.
of the Mountaineers.
All right.
First of all, Art, I'd like to veer off from the subject for a minute. I was wondering if you were able to watch the miniseries on Sci-Fi, The Triangle.
No, I did not.
You were referred to in that movie.
Was I?
Yes, and it was about an investigative team and the executive assistant being so excited about it. And you're really excited about this. And he said, yes, this is really great stuff, that get me Art Bell on the phone kind of stuff. I must have reran that thing at least 10 times the first night. But, no, my question is, I have a answering machine, old-time answering machine in the kitchen.
Oh, yes.
It's plugged into the outlet. It has the phone line plugged in, but not into the phone line outlet. I went from landline to cell phone. I happened to be washing dishes one night, and this red button is flashing as though I have a message. And I'm like, and the hair on the back of my neck stands up, and I go ahead and press the button, and there's really nothing there. And I listen to at least 30 minutes of the tape. There's a really small answering machine tape. Now, I could hear background noises like children, but I'm... the gentleman just said a moment ago that it would be better to use a brand new tape.
Of course.
I'm wondering, could that be just a rollover, or could I put that into another piece of equipment?
Okay, well, it could be. Look, the reason they say use a blank tape is obvious. A lot of times when an erase head hits a tape, it doesn't completely erase what was on it. So you always have the obvious risk of having something like that, particularly with a telephone answering machine that's probably been recorded over 5 million times.
True. I never thought of that. That's probably an imprint then there. Well, thank you so very much.
You're very welcome, and I didn't mean to answer the question
No, I just wanted to know if maybe I could pick it up better, or it's probably been recorded over.
You would have to imagine, because it's been recorded so many times, that it is exactly that. You guys would agree, I'm sure, right?
Oh, yes, definitely. Yeah.
Because it can bleed through.
Yeah, it really can. So to be sure of what you're doing, use a blank tape. West of the Rockies, you're on the air with a GIS. Good morning.
Hi. This is Sophia from Eureka, California.
Hi, Sophia.
Hi. Congratulations, Art.
Thank you.
And I had a theory about the children. From what I know, when a person dies, say it's like a really traumatic death, they are more likely to stay as either ghosts or like earthbound spirits.
Right.
So that maybe when a child dies, it's more of a traumatic thing or more of a shock to the child. It's more likely that a child would stay around in that as an earthbound spirit, whereas an adult who passes away, it's not as much of a shock or a traumatic event.
Well, and that's definitely the case. I mean, children don't seem to have this concept of mortality. Uh-huh. I mean, they really, especially if you look at the what sounds like the ages of the children that we record, mm-hmm. they're young enough that they really wouldn't understand death. I mean, they don't understand that, you know, you go to sleep and you're not going to wake up.
Uh-huh.
Do you believe that you have to understand you're dead before you move on?
Yeah, definitely. Well, yeah, I do. I think so. And I think that a big reason that they are still remaining in this in-between place is that they don't realize that they're dead. They're confused.
Well, it's still, I'm sorry. Thank you very much for the call. I'm sorry we're out of show. It's still very troubling to hear the voices of young children, particularly young children in distress. I mean, that one you had was just over the top, guys. Really over the top. Those get to me like no other. Listen, as always, what a pleasure to have you on. Thank you.
Well, thank you for inviting us.
And, you know, a lot of people have got to be left, you know, scratching their heads going, well, it really does seem like there is something to this. Your website is ghostpix.com, right? And they can hear these and many, many others and also give you feedback and get in touch with you and all the rest of that and even get recommendations on how to do this for themselves, right?
That's it.
Okay, folks, again, it's been an honor to have you on the program. I really buy into all this, and you have a good night.
Thank you.
Right, and if you missed the first hour of the program, folks, you really might want to take a moment out for those stations that repeat and listen very closely to what's coming up.